You are listening to Everywhere You Are, a podcast produced by the Dawson Women's Ministry. At Dawson, we recognize that women's ministry is not a class or a club you join. Ministry is not confined to the four walls of a church building, and it's not limited by life stages or circumstances. Rather, ministry is living a life of service everywhere you are. This podcast seeks to encourage you, everywhere you are, in the laundry room, driving carpool, at work, preparing a meal, or exercising. We believe God calls each of us to be ministers at all times in all places. Welcome to Everywhere You Are. In this episode, we hear about transition from college to career. And while this conversation is about a specific time of life, there are definitely parallels to any life stage transition. But how in the world does it relate to the woman at the well? Just listen and find out. Welcome to Everywhere You Are. I'm Rachel Langston, your host, and our guests today are Jada Griffith and Emmy Tain. So, Emmy, we'll start with you. Tell us where you are today.
Today, I am in the middle of one of my semesters of my senior year of college at Samford. I'm pursuing a degree in worship leadership, so studying a lot of music and ministry. And I live with four other roommates, and so home is always super fun. And I just get to live a really exciting life that's always super busy with people coming in and out of our house for dinners and movie nights all the time. And it's just really fun and getting to live with all these people who encourage me a lot, just to know more and more about everything. Just because right now I am so curious about so many things. And so there's so many opportunities to learn just about the things around me, about where the Lord has placed me and about where he's taking me. And I'm just excited and curious and hungry to see where he's taking me and what he has in store.
Okay, I don't cook a lot. So what time is dinner?
Dinner, well, between the five of us, it could be anywhere from 5:30 to 9 p.m.
Oh, well, Lord, I'm in bed by then. Okay.
I feel like we also take turns using the stove. So we don't always eat together at the same time, but we're normally in the kitchen together eating or cooking or doing something of the sort.
And you're also working, you're one of our beta interns, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you've done that for a couple of years, right?
Yes, this is my second year. Last year, I was the women's ministry intern, but this year, I'm the spiritual development intern.
Okay.
Which means I'm just split between women's ministry and college ministry.
Okay. So I like it. Yeah, I like it cool. A lot. All right, Jada, where are you today?
Well, I am in my fifth year of working at Regions Bank. I do marketing there. I'm also a wife and married to the new college pastor here at Dawson. So we're probably 4 months, I think, around that into Dawson.
Good.
We are two proud dog owners. Recently got our second dog. So that's been fun but challenging. He's 8 months and he's never been potty trained, things like that.
Oh, good.
So
nice.
We're having to really kick down the doors to get him house trained. Let's see what else.
What does the other dog think about him?
Other dog loves him.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they get along very well. It's just that we're like, there's some rules to live in this house.
Yeah.
So you need to learn those rules.
Right.
They're both named after Alabama college football players.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Graduate from Alabama.
So in this season of the podcast, we're looking at the story of the Jesus and the woman at the well from John chapter 4, and we're specifically looking at in between places. And in that story, we have a couple of examples. Jesus is between Judea and Galilee. He's traveling. And the woman at the well is between being lost and being found. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we're focusing our conversations this season. So tell me what resonates with you from that story. Just anything that kind of jumps out at you.
I feel like so much. Specifically also her being at the well in the middle of the day feels like an in-between place in itself, just because she is separated from everyone else because of her status because of what she's done, she's just been alienated. And so even just being at the well in the middle of the day with nobody else around, I feel like that in itself is an in-between place. And also Jesus finding her and picking to engage in a theological conversation with this woman who has so clearly been cast out from the rest of her community. That just feels like a weird in-between place for her to be, but for Jesus to seek her out and find her there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Pastor David did use this scripture in a sermon, I don't know, maybe a month ago. And he commented that the way the passage reads is that Jesus had to go to mm-hmm. Samaria. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting to me to think that she was just doing what she did every day, but that Jesus had to go there specifically to meet her. So that's kind of, you know, humbling in a lot of ways to think about that. So about you, Jada? What jumps out?
Well, the had to part was something that I realized or focused more on this time, you know, in recently reading this passage versus hearing it times past. And I was actually reading it in the ESV Study Bible, and it had talked about how had to could have been replaced, I think, with the words, it was necessary. Mm. And it started to get into how there were other paths for Jesus to take to get to where he was going, but he chose to go the path that would take him through Samaria. Mm. And, it, of course, it's the ESV Study Bible is going into how this shows the divine nature of Christ allowing kind of knowing that God has put him in a place to go and tell and reach people, and that he's giving his own footsteps to that cause, to go and to tell people, mm-hmm. And acting, of course, in a way that was different than right. those around him. And so for me, that I kind of started off with focusing on that a little bit more when reading John 4, and then how it's kind of seen throughout when Jesus keeps doing these things that are just contradictory. Like he's going the path through Samaria. He doesn't want to go past the Samaritans. He's talking to a Samaritan woman, and his disciples are like, whoa, what is he doing? And even so on and so forth out the rest of the passage. So that part did draw my attention, and I kind of thought more about even challenging myself to think, does the Spirit ask me to take certain footsteps or to mm-hmm. take certain paths that are outside of my comfort zone or outside of what others around me would do or outside of maybe what culture would tell me to mm-hmm. do? But that was something that really had my wheels spinning as I read John 4.
I like that. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Or outside of your convenience. Mm. That's,
correct.
That's a big one for me.
And might I encounter people who I'm told are not people to, you know.
To engage
to
with.
To engage
yes.
with.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So tell us about a kind of an in-between place that you found in your own life or something like an in-between that you've experienced, or maybe you're experiencing it right now.
Yeah. For me, I thought about this and thought about post-grad. So, Emmy, this may be a good lesson learned for me that hopefully helps you when you graduate. But when I left college, I went to the University of Alabama, and then I moved to New York right after college. My degree was in public relations, so I knew I wanted to work in that field and in an agency, and I knew I wanted to work in a big city. So I was really excited to live in New York. But with that transition, a lot of things were happening in my personal life. My grandmother, who had raised me, had just died. I had just graduated college and left a very strong community of believers. I left all of my best friends. No one moved with me. And I had some people that I knew from college, but they were not at all people who knew me well or could encourage me, I think, in the way that I felt like my best friends did, especially in such a vulnerable state
right.
of my life. And so I think I stayed there for 2 years, and that time period I would definitely call an in-between. I had a church family that was phenomenal, and I think that was God's grace to me during that time period because I felt very lost. I wouldn't say I felt spiritually lost. Like, I felt like I knew that God was carrying me through this season of life, but it felt very much so, oh, who am I? And mm-hmm. what am I doing? And this is a community I'm not used to. I'm living in a culture that is much different than the South. And how do I be a Christian amidst people who clearly don't care to be a Christian, or if they are, they have their own way of doing it that's different than mine. And so how do I do this? how do I reconcile this new stage of life, but want, you know, wanting to honor Christ, wanting to grow who I am personally and spiritually. And so I think that that season of life really felt like a long, drawn out of just questioning and hoping I'd come to some conclusion. And I can say, I think after 2 years, I left because I think I knew this is not the place where I see myself long term. This is not where I think I will flourish and thrive in many different ways. And so I left, but I think I saw throughout that whole in-between season that God is my refuge and my peace, my comfort. He's going to be consistent. He's going to be faithful, even when I'm kind of questioning all of these other things that were so foundational in my life, missing now. And honestly, I think the peeling back of all those things showed me that I should be built on the hope and peace and truth and salvation of who Christ Jesus is and who I am in Him. Especially given all of these things that were beautiful things, wonderful things, God-glorifying things, but they were things that at times could take me away from fully resting on and trusting in Jesus. So I do think that in-between season was a time for me to really be challenged to, you know, where is my hope? And when all else is gone, where am I looking and where am I finding that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's interesting you said you wanted to move to mm-hmm. a big city. So it's not that, I mean, but you do sometimes the things that you think you want.
Right.
Can lead you to an in-between place.
Yep.
And they're not bad things, but it does give you a different perspective for sure.
I think I had a different expectation of how those 2 years would go, but they were just as they needed to be.
Yeah. All right, Emmy, what about you?
I feel like, I mean, as you were talking, a lot of similarities just in the last few years of college. I mean, I'm in my senior year, but the last 3 years almost have felt like an in-between place. Because coming in, so I'm a worship major. The degree is very small. I'm graduating with one other person. And so we know each other really well. We've had almost every class together. But coming in, I had all of these expectations for college, for who I was going to become, for the people that I was going to meet. And well, of course, the Lord's plan is so much better than mine, because I think if I did have it my way, I wouldn't have enjoyed it. But so much of just looking back on the last few years and seeing where I was and where I am now. I mean, I'm only 3 years older than I was, but I just feel like so much has happened. And it's been a lot of questions, a lot of asking, a lot of sitting, and a lot of listening. It's been crazy. So coming in, our degree, halfway through my very first semester, the head of our department left, and then soon after, the rest of the professors kind of followed. And so we were left just really confused, like, oh, do we need to stay in this? Like, I know that I'm called to work in ministry, and I know that this is a place where I want to grow and I want to be, and I love the people that I've met. I don't want to leave this community. But is this something that I still need to pursue academically? And so that was just really confusing, because I enjoyed the classes that I was taking. I was expectant of what the degree was going to become, what role I was going to get to have in that. And ultimately, it wasn't anything huge, and I'm still a worship major, and I'm still on that degree plan. But so much of what I've learned hasn't directly even been from that. It's just been like from the people that I'm with and the people that I get to work with and the people that get to pour into me. I get to co-lead our campus worship team on Sanford's campus. And that has just been a really sweet spot of learning what it looks like to serve and to be served. A lot of it's development for younger leaders, because, I mean, where I was coming onto the team, I definitely needed that older woman just pouring into me and helping me see the leader that's in myself, and encouraging me in that and giving me opportunities to lead and to grow in that. And I feel like I've gotten so much of that here at Dawson, just from the different people that I get to talk to and watch and just look at as they're leading, and getting to see how that can translate into my life. And so many of my assignments the first few years of college were like, go to a new church you haven't been to, analyze this service. So it made it really hard to just sit in a church service and actually get something out of it, because I was so trained to just jot down, oh, they were doing this and this, and maybe this facilitated this, but if they did it in this way, blah, blah, blah. And I got so caught up in the logistics of it all that I was like, why am I even in this? Because it's making it so much harder just to go to church and to be a member of a church, because I'm just thinking in this logistic way. And if I want to serve in ministry, I don't want to not be able to be present in a church service for the rest of my life. But so much of the last few years of this in between has been learning how to slow down and how to rest and how to wait and listen for the voice of the Lord. And so much of that has simply just looked like sitting and asking the Lord to say something, to move, to change something that I can evidently see, and something that I can tangibly use. And because if I don't like see, I so much goes over my head and I'm just like, oh, woohoo, what's happening? But the Lord has been very faithful to just almost put his foot down or like snap in my face, like, hey, this is happening and this is what I'm trying to tell you. Whether that's just like a gut feeling that I'm really confused about for a few months. And then I'm like, oh wait, that was definitely the Lord preparing my heart and forcing me to slow down and find how to sense his spirit and see what that looks like in my life and all of the things that I'm doing, because I lead so many worship services a week. And so it should be something that is so much more normal than it is. And so I feel like the last year has been a lot of sensing what the voice of the Lord looks like in this in-between place of learning and trying to figure out where I'm going next, and trying to see what role I play and wherever I go next. But
yeah. What does it look like for you to, outside of a worship service, to to get to a point where you're, or to just sit and be quiet and listen? I mean, how does that fit into your day or your schedule? Because obviously,
It looks like a lot of prayer in a lot of random places, whether it's driving to campus or as I'm getting ready or simply just walking across campus. Like any space where I'm not directly with other people, like I am, not that I do it every single time, but in a moment where I know that I probably need to, and I can feel like my heartbeat getting faster, and right. I can feel myself getting stressed and thinking about things that I really, they're just so evidently a distraction from where I need to be. Just separating myself sometimes and asking the Lord, and asking bold things that I don't always expect to happen in a worship service, but, just asking the Lord to bring peace and to bring wisdom and discernment to just the forefront of my mind, in order to rely fully on him. And a lot of my prayers are asking, like, separate myself fully from this, because if it is anything of myself, then it wouldn't be anything fruitful for anybody else, and it wouldn't lead anybody anywhere if it was directly from myself. And so I just need to be grounded pretty much every single time. But it just looks like sitting separated from others, because I get so distracted so easily. But it looks like sitting and asking the Lord for peace and asking the Lord to be present. And I feel like before every service, I have asked the Lord for me to experience him in a new way, even though like I lead multiple a week. How much can you learn about the Lord? But there is so much. And so just asking over and over. And so I feel like it gets so repetitive, and I'm sure he's so sick of me asking. He's not, but sometimes I'm like, you are just so sick of me asking you the same question over and over. And that's, Lord, like, please come into my life and do something so that I can encounter you in a new way, in a fresh way, even if it's the same truth over and over again. And for some reason, that is true. Like, he has just been keeping me in the Psalms for the last 4 years, and just learning what it looks like to worship in so many different aspects of brokenness and in so many different aspects of just life and what happens, and learning what it looks like to consistently worship and respond in that way and in different ways too.
So, Jada, you mentioned that during your time in New York, like, you realized that, you know, God was your peace and God was present with you. I mean, how did you experience his presence in such a different place than what you were used to?
Yeah, I think it was the body of Christ in many different ways. So one, when I got there, And thankfully, I think this was the Spirit leading me, because I don't think I would have had the determination on my own. But I think that I really was like, I need to find a church home. Like, I got to find a place that I can worship at on Sundays and find a community through, find like-minded believers. And so I went through a series of trying out so many different churches. And I remember leaving each time really disappointed, because I guess in my mind, I just went like, well, I would hope that if I show up and you've never seen me before, you would come up to me and say, you know, you look new and we want to welcome you to our church. And, you know, do you want to get plugged in? And none of that happened. And I think maybe I'm just used to also Southern hospitality right. and culture. And so I was really disappointed about that. And so I think it definitely also was framing like a negative thought in my mind of like, oh, well, churches here just aren't going to be great. And I'm just not going to enjoy being in church here. So maybe I just shouldn't. And thankfully, I could determine a lie or like a temptation from the Spirit really saying, no, we're going to find a church home. We're going to keep going. And luckily, I was approached I had family friends from Georgia, which is where I'm born and raised, that had told me a church plant was being established in Harlem. And so I had reached out, and the pastor immediately texted me, asked to go get lunch. And I just was like, this is all I was looking for. I just wanted right. people, you know, I just wanted a church that I would feel welcomed at, that they would receive me with open arms, but also that I felt like preached the word truthfully and created, you know, cultivated gospel-centered community. And so that church for me was so beneficial to feel like a home while I was there, mm-hmm. Especially feeling so distant from my actual family, from my actual friends, and also having the recent death of my grandmother really feel like right. this is an absence in my life, and I need to feel this in a good and appropriate way, need to feel like I have people here who are like family. And that church definitely provided that for me. And then I think also my roommates were wonderful people who, thankfully, I knew from either my time in college or my time growing up in Georgia.
Mm, okay.
And so I think having that depth of relationship with them, they weren't either like my best friends, but they were people who knew me. And I think I took for granted, like, friendships are such a gift from the Lord. And mm-hmm. I think I learned that too, is that His peace and His presence can come from just a physical body of a person who mm-hmm. knows you, values you, understands you, wants to encourage you through the hard days. And so friendships also were so crucial to me during those years, to feel like I had people who I could lean on. And was ultimately, I think, also pointing me back to like, you can lean on your friends, but Christ is always present. Christ is always near. Christ is the ultimate friend. And mm-hmm. so I think the body of Christ really showed up for me, and I think I took advantage of it as much as I could. And I think because I was in a more like vulnerable state of life, I realized my need for community and for my friends and for people than I had before. I kind of operated with a very like, I got myself, you know, like I got friends, but I got myself, like I'm good. And that really was, I think, a gift from the Lord during that season.
Yeah. So how do you, I mean, as we're having these conversations, it kind of, one of the themes that we're finding is that everybody's in some sort of in-between, mm-hmm. and that really we're always in between one thing and another, whatever that looks like. So how do you encourage people, other people, who are going through something, they're in between? I imagine, Emmy, you've got a lot of people who aren't sure what's happening after graduation. And,
so true.
And you know, like, how would you encourage, just because from your experience with the Lord and in the things that you're discussing or that you're sharing, how do you encourage other people in a time like this?
Mm-hmm. I feel like I see it so much. And also when I was reading the story of Jesus and the woman in Samaria, but immediately asking questions. Like in verse 15 of the story, she immediately is like, oh, well, how do I get this living water? Like, how do I get to experience this? And I feel like I see so much of it just in the church today, also just in something, the Spirit is doing something with so many hearts of so many young people, and they are just hungry for something that they don't fully know what it is, but it is the Holy Spirit and is encountering a holy moment. And so just encouraging them to lean in and asking those questions, like just simply asking, how do I get this living water? Like asking a direct question, because that's what this woman did. And yes, Jesus was giving her the answer, and he was like, well, it's literally me. So, hey, but I feel like also in a place where I know what truth is, like being so quick to offer that truth. And it's not necessarily something that's going to be immediately understood and received in the moment, but not letting that discourage you at the same time. But leaning into asking questions and leaning into those feelings, it's like, I don't know what's happening, but something's stirring. And I know that something's coming, because it has been evident that when I am feeling that way, it's the Lord preparing my heart for something. And it is preparing my heart to encounter him in a new way. Because sometimes if things happen really fast, I'm like, whoa, what's happening? But right. The Lord has been very kind to slow me down in order to prepare me in a way that I don't freak out. And I'm like, oh, well, this could be the Lord, but it's, why would he do it in this way?
Right.
You know? But yeah, immediately asking those questions and immediately combating those questions with truth, I think.
That's perfect. I love that. What about you, Jada? Any thoughts there?
I think that when I think about if I were sitting across from like a friend or someone that I don't know well, but they're kind of talking about this
or
in
a Dawson
between,
College student,
or a Dawson College student.
True.
Hey, I really just, it's simple, but I really just start to lean into like trust in the Lord, mm-hmm. And don't lean in on your own understanding. Like, we are going to feel so conflicted by our emotions and our desires and our temptations. And like, sin is, you know, crouching at the door, and
right.
Like, at all times we feel all those things and the tension and the pressure and the everything that those distractions want us to feel. But especially in times of the in-between, I feel like they're louder, mm-hmm. Or they're more, you can feel them more in your body. I think it manifests itself sometimes as anxiety or mm-hmm. It can, in many different ways, anger. But in times like that, I would tell someone, you know, like, be mindful of how your like body feel, like be mindful of the signs that your body is giving you, and then lean into and trust what God has said over you, says in his word about you, and says who he is. Like, mm-hmm. He is a God who wants you to, one, lean on him. He is a God who said, come find refuge in me. He's a God who is aware of your affliction, is aware of your sin, and loves you and pours out mercy upon you daily. Like, just reminding, having that evidence of like scripture in front of you, however you need to do that. If that's daily Bible reading, if that's post-it notes, if that's, you tell a friend, I need encouragement every day when I wake up. So can you, accountability in a way mm-hmm. like that. But just lean into all the promises and the goodness and even the commands of God, because they're good and they're for your fruition and they're for us, mm-hmm. I think, to enjoy God together, and to also see that God doesn't call us to be these, like, we got it all the time. You know, when we face temptations or trials, we're going to bulldoze right through them. They're not going to faze us. And so, yeah, I would just tell someone, like, have trust in God, lean on him, but find that support where you need it as well. And you're going to need it. Mm-hmm. So don't psych yourself out.
You said being aware of, like, your posture almost. Mm-hmm. And just the image of whenever I'm like having to tell myself, like, girl, chill, Jesus has you, like physically, like relaxing the tense mm-hmm. muscles in my body, like sitting with open hands in mm-hmm. order to give myself that picture of, like, if you open yourself and if you open your heart and if you open your hands, the Lord mm-hmm. will use you. And like, the Lord will answer boldly and he will tell you, give you an answer to what you're asking. And just that physical picture of having your hands open, but also knowing that you're being held in his open hands, because his hands are open to us, because mm-hmm. he does want to hold us and lead us and guide us and carry us to where we want to be. Mm-hmm. But I like that you said that, because that's so much of what I picture in yeah. my mind.
Yeah. When you were talking, it kind of hit me. You know, she was doing, the woman was just doing what she would normally do. And if she's anything like me, I'm doing my thing. I'm on a schedule. I'm ready. Mm-hmm, I got to mm-hmm. get my water, get back, get, you know, and then to the next thing and the next thing. And you can almost feel her impatience with Jesus, mm-hmm. obviously not knowing who he is yet.
She's like, why are you talking to me?
Well, right. And then
where's this living water?
And he's like, you know, give me a drink. And she's yeah. like, you don't even have a bucket. Like, what do you want? You know, mm-hmm. but that is so true, that our bodies kind of give us a clue when I don't know that we're always sure. Like, we don't always mm-hmm. recognize when we're in an in-between mm-hmm. or when we're not immediately, because we're so busy doing what we always do. And it's like, in hindsight, you're like, oh, that might have been a clue.
That makes so right. much sense now.
You know, yeah. mm-hmm. Or, oh, I was talking to Jesus and didn't even realize it, mm-hmm. you know. I love that you said that about the body and the signals that our bodies give us mm-hmm. In times like this. So as we kind of wrap up, are there scriptures that you lean on or have leaned on in particular in between times? And they don't necessarily have to be something you only use during an in-between time, but are there scriptures that you feel like have sort of carried you through or maybe will carry you through? Emmy, you've got some interesting months ahead as you graduate and then figure out what's next. But mm-hmm. what scripture do you go back to?
One that has just been consistently at the forefront of my mind, and for some reason I'm always being brought back to, is Psalm 73:26, and it says, my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Mm. And I think I love that picture so much because I see myself fail over and over and over again. But my strength is what's failing and his strength doesn't fail me. And so I've also seen that so evidently in my life over and over and over again, where his strength is consistently refilling up what my strength drains from me and what is drained from me. And so just that picture that he is and will be enough for me forever. And just the word forever, sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, it's forever, but it actually is.
Right.
And it is never failing. And he is always close and he is always willing and quick to pick me up and to renew my strength. And so that's something that I love and that I just need to remind myself pretty much daily. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I love that one. That's good. What about you, Jada?
For me, a verse that always finds its way around mm-hmm. several times a year, I feel like, is 1 Peter 5:10, mm-hmm. Which says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." And I think I really, the promise that I will be restored and confirmed mm-hmm. and strengthened and established have really been things for me to just find my footing on and to go, hey, this doesn't feel great. This is an affliction that I want taken away. Or this is a time period where I'm not enjoying myself, Lord. And quite frankly, I'm moody all the time and I don't feel like, yeah, I'm not enjoying life. So like, what am I going to do about that? And I think that I remind myself, like, God has called me to trust into him and that he's shown to be faithful in restoring me, giving me that sense of, hey, restoration, whether it be rest, whether it be, hey, you've made it through and now we're restoring this calling, or we're restoring a relationship that it maybe has caused that in-between season for whatever reason. And then going through the steps of making sure it's kind of like this cycle of finding my hope in Christ, getting strength to his word, strength to his character, strength in the Holy Spirit being present and helping me every day, and feeling established. I think it kind of does like this cycle through those words of just always coming back to, like, I'm found in Christ and he is who I get my foundation, or who I stand on, have a firm foundation in. And so for me, it's like it helps me go through this like cycle of like, mm-hmm. okay, when I'm feeling this way, remind yourself, he will restore me, he will confirm me, he will strengthen me, and he will establish me. And just reminding myself, however long that takes, we're going to believe it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and the woman at the well was literally found mm-hmm. by Christ
yep.
in that moment mm-hmm. for the reason of her salvation.
Right, yeah.
So that's beautiful.
Were you challenged by Emmy's comments about a lot of sitting and a lot of listening to the Lord? And have you, like Jada, found that God is your peace no matter the circumstances? Everywhere you are today, we pray that you will open your hands and heart to hear what God is saying to you, and that his peace will fill you completely. Until next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of Everywhere You Are. Please rate and review us on your podcast platform and share us with other women that you think could benefit from hearing about God working in the lives of ordinary women. To learn more about the Dawson Family of Faith, please visit dawsonchurch.org
and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We look forward to meeting you.